Good morning. I'm Steve, and I've got the privilege of sharing with you from a place of weakness, because I'm talking about a guy with hair, and he lost his strength when his hair got cut. So I'm telling you from a place of weakness. I'm definitely not like Samson. We're looking at Samson today. He's the 12th and final judge of Israel. He's a Sunday school favorite. He's a go-to. All the kids love the story of this strong man who did a really tough job in Israel. I wonder, who was your childhood hero? Who did you look up to when you were a kid? Was it a parent, or was it a sports star or a movie star or a singer? Well, as you grew up, you finally realize, you come to realize that your hero or the person that you put on a pedestal isn't all as good as you thought they were when you were younger. You know, the kids who laugh at the dad jokes when they're younger and thinks it's so funny. You know, by the time they turn teenage years, I say, oh, he's so thick, I don't know why I listen to him. And then when they turn about 20, they think, oh, life isn't as easy as it makes out. And this old couple that I live with, they you know, they've got some clues that might just be worth listening to. And so when they're 30 and they've got children of their own, they might know even more. So I wonder what my parents think about this situation. I wonder what they do in this situation. And so they become a resource rather than a killjoy or a hindrance in their lives. Samson was God's man for a tough time. And Israel was going through a really dark period. And the Bible describes it, everyone was doing their own selfish thing, whatever they thought right. And God just left them to it. And it left them going into a sinkhole that they just couldn't get out of. But Samson, he stands out. He is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the heroes of faith. The story of Samson has inspired movies. It's inspired poets, and songs have been written about Samson. People can relate to his strengths, but also his weaknesses, his struggles. And if you haven't read Judges 13 through to 16, I encourage you to read it. It's like reading a movie script, because it just pounds from one action scene to another one, and it really drags you in. And we can learn a lot from Samson's life. Samson had a really miraculous start. As Ash read for us, his parents were visited by an angel of the Lord. And as if you read on in chapter 13, Manoah, who is Samson's dad, he asked this angel, "What's your name? So that we can, you know, spread your fame around the place." And the angel of the Lord says, "My name is too wonderful for you to comprehend." Now, we've mentioned here at church that whenever an angel of the Lord visits Abraham or other Bible characters, we say, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think of Isaiah saying, who's going to come, who's the baby that's going to come to you? His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. And so the angel of the Lord gave a little clue to Manoah that this is Jesus Christ, who's giving a proclamation to Manoah and his wife that Samson was going to come and start beginning the rescue process. Samson had such great potential. He was blessed by God. He was chosen by God to be a leader, to begin this rescue process. He was gifted and charismatic. He was always the center of attention. He was larger than life. Now, one of the things that the angel of the Lord said to his parents was that Samson was to be a Nazarite for life. A Nazarite was someone who would dedicate themselves to the Lord, to set them apart. And it might be for a short period of time. So if you're feeling sick or you've got problems, you might decide, well, I want what God's best is. And so I'll go to the temple and the tabernacle, and I'll go and make a Nazarite vow. I'll cut all my hair off, and from the period of time that I make this vow, I will not cut my hair. And you will not drink any alcohol. And you'll dedicate yourself not to touch any dead bodies. Well, that's an easy one for us. But Samson, he had this Nazarite vow from birth. His whole life was to be set apart for God's service. He was God's man for the job. And so his mum and his dad made sure he didn't have any alcohol, he didn't touch any dead bodies, and no one cut his hair. He looked after it and cared for it, combed it, and looked really, really good. Now, Katrina and I, we do a 5-2 diet. Have you heard of that? You sort of limit your calories for 2 days a week. And Katrina's always getting on to me because I've got a very flexible idea about what a calorie is worth. A calorie, it's sort of a fluid thing with me. And Samson, he had the similar type of idea with these Nazarite rules. He touching dead bodies, well, if you read through, you see that he touches dead bodies in his account. No alcohol, well, it doesn't say it explicitly, but Samson is a party animal, and it sort of implied that he's the center of attention. And to believe that he went through his life without alcohol, I find it hard to believe, just looking at the type of person that he is. He's very flexible with his rules, but he was very stringent with his one rule, not to cut his hair. He loved his hair. Okay, and so he will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. And when he was born, his mum called him Samson, and the Lord blessed him. I just wonder, God had a plan for Samson's life. God's also got a plan for your life. And he's made you a particular shape. Now, when we think of Samson's shape, we think of a chiseled cut out guy who looks larger than life. And I always think, I wonder if God had a sense of humor and made Samson to be a scrawny, tubby sort of guy, and he just empowered him at just the right times. But he just walked around without any muscle at all. And I thought that would be a funny picture, killing 1,000 people with a jawbone, skinny, scrawny guy chasing people down. But I imagine he was a typically big, broad-shouldered shouldered guy. He had a particular shape. He was spiritually gifted to do his job. He had a heart and a passion for the job that God had given him to do. He had certainly had the ability and the personality and the experience to do what God had called him to do. And he's made you a shape that's unique to you. You've got a gift. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a spiritual gift that makes a difference in your life. You've got a heart and a passion for something around about you. You've got an ability, some ability to do something. God's given you a personality like no other. And he's given you past experiences that you can draw on and use to fulfill God's role for you in your life. So the question is, are you going to join God in his plan to fulfill his plan in your life? By the way, I think Samson did absolutely everything to foil and disrupt God's plan for his life. Whether we choose to get on board with God or not with his plan for our lives, God's going to achieve his purposes. Samson just didn't stay the course. So for every positive attribute that he had, his strength and his ability to pull people together, he had negative ones. If you read through those three or four chapters, he was proud and arrogant. He was impulsive and headstrong and foolish from time to time. And Satan just knew the right thing to get this guy off track. A woman had caught his eye. And so Satan knew just the right bait to put right in front of Samson to take him off course for his life. And Samson, being Samson, said to his parents, "Here's a woman I want to marry. Organize it. Go and get me married. Organize the wedding. Get it done. I want her." And his parents looked at this woman and said, "Samson, this is a Philistine woman that you've picked. You've picked someone who has different values and a different faith, a totally different God. And it's going to cause you to be distracted and take you off your God-given purpose." But Satan had put just the right things in front of Samson to take him off course. He made little compromises along his life. There's a Kathy cartoon who struggles with her weight, and she looks at her diet and she says, "I'm going to go for a drive, but I'm not going to go to the supermarket. All right, I'm going to go to the supermarket, but I'm not going to go in. I'm going to go in, but I'm not going to go to the lolly aisle. I can't go to the lolly aisle. Okay, I'll just go and have a look at the lolly aisle. But I'm not going to touch anything. All right, I'm going to touch something, but I'm not going to open it. I'm not going to open it, but I'm not going to taste anything. I'm not going to take any. Nom, 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 nom." And she pigs out. And you could see it coming right from the very start, right? We've all got our little compromises that we can make. For Samson, it was lust. For others, it might be lying so you look good, or gossiping so you've got information over other people, or it might be cheating so you get ahead. It might be laziness, and you just don't care about, or apathy. Or it might be greed, accumulating things so that you've got more things to show for yourself, get ahead of the neighbors. Samson made compromises. And sometimes we make compromises as well, but we shouldn't confuse God's grace allowing this thing to happen that Samson, the course that Samson was going on. God didn't disallow it. But don't for a minute think that God was giving permission for Samson to do this. It wasn't okay with God. And so don't confuse God's grace with permission. And remember, it's not the bait that's sinful. People can get tempted all the time. It's not the bait that makes it wrong. It's the bite. Has anyone heard of buy now, pay later? Have we ever done that? Yeah, a few people have gone there. Yeah, and so buy now, pay later. Very attractive things. You see sparkly things on the TV or in the store, and you think, I want that now. And just like Samson, I want her. They reckon by the end of 2026, there's going to be people spending $565.8 billion in that year on buy now, pay later. And do you know 60% of people who do buy now, pay later make late payments? And that's a killer. That's when the consequences kick in. Buy now can be very attractive, but can leave you so open and vulnerable to high fees. Now, if you're caught in a buy now, pay later, guess what? We've got some Cap Money mentors who have just been trained up to help you look at your finances. And if you have problems with your finances, go and see Fletcher, and he can point you to someone who might be able to help you organize your finances in a more beneficial way. But giving in to temptation and making compromises, there's three warning signs that the Bible says. Compromise number one, moral compromises always makes us vulnerable. Whenever we make a moral compromise, look at the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, it leaves us vulnerable for attack. Temptation, number two, temptation comes in attractive packages. You see something sparkly and shiny, yes, I want that, I want it now, and then you pay for it later. And temptation, number three, temptation comes when we choose the wrong friends, when we've got wrong people around about us saying, oh yeah, come on, one more round, or going to the wrong places, come here, come there. Wrong friends can leave us vulnerable as well. But what does the Bible say? The Bible shared some wisdom on this situation. It says, stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's baiting people. He's putting things out there right in front of your nose. It says, what are you going to do with this? And just reels you in. The second thing, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Surround yourself with people who want to do the right thing, who want to honor God with their lives. I think you're in the right place. if you've come here this morning, you've surrounded yourself with people who want to go God's way. And then the third, what the Bible says, is bad company corrupts good character. By the end of Samson's wedding wish, it ended in disaster. There were 30 dead. The Philistine crops for that season was burned to the ground by 300 jackals or foxes who, with burning tails, went running through the crops and burned everything down, courtesy of Samson. And then there was a tit-for-tat aggression that led to 1,000 men being killed with the jawbone of a donkey, courtesy of our friend Samson. Beat that, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Samson just trumps Arnie out of sight. It's so hard to imagine when we look at Samson's life that he's using this guy to fulfill his plan. God empowered Samson and came down and gave him great strength for every season that he needed it, despite his activities. God was using Samson, even though he made dipstick decisions in his life, he used him to fulfill his purposes. And so the compromises continued. And in Judges 16, it says, one day Samson went down to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. These compromises kept getting bigger and bigger. He went in and spent the night, but at midnight, he got up. His enemies were going to take him at dawn. But at midnight, he got up, grabbed the city gates, which are huge, and the crossbar. He carried them over just under 60 kilometers to Hebron, and he planted them on a hill overlooking Hebron. But then he was blindsided. He was blindsided by Delilah. Now, Delilah means delicate. And for all the purposes that the Bible says, Delilah would have been a stunner. She would have turned heads as she walked through the marketplace. And guess whose head turned the quickest? It was Samson. And people were watching Samson and Delilah. Samson went down to Gaza, the stronghold of the Philistines, almost the capital of the area. He didn't surround himself with positive people. He went into the enemy's camp. And he connected up with Delilah. And the Philistines' leaders, there were five of them, went to Delilah and said, we will give you 1,100 silver pieces to find out the secret to Samson's strength. And if we capture him, we'll give you these 5,100 pieces of silver. Now, that would have bought Delilah 275 slaves, according to the NIV Study Bible. 275, that's a fair bit of money. She could relax and take it easy. Do you know what Delilah's hook was? Money. It was greed. She wanted more. It wasn't love at all for Delilah. It's what she could get out of it. And so it comes out that she said to him, Samson, what makes you so strong? How can I tie you up? How can I immobilize you? How can I take control of you? And Samson said, You can't do that. But if you took some ropes, fresh thongs, you can tie me up, and that would render me as weak as any other man. And so she did that, and she stood back once she tied him up and said, Samson, the Philistines are here. Get ready. And, of course, he pulls it apart. Three times she does this, and Samson spins a tail because he likes his hair so much. And she started to wear him down, started nagging him every day. And I told this story to a kids group once, and a little girl said, that's what my mum does with my dad. Whenever she wants anything, she does that. She just wears him down over and over. I said, yes, I can see that. She kept on nagging. If you loved me, you'd do this for me. And whenever someone says that to you, young or old, get a red flag raised above your head, all right? Say, warning bells, ding-a-ling-ling, there's something wrong here. The fourth time, then she said, how can you say I love me? Verse 15 in chapter 16. How can you say you love me when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. That's what the Bible says, tired to death. So he told her everything. No razor has been used on my head because I've been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back one more time. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. Delilah was happy. The Philistines were happy. It was payday for them, but it was payback for Samson. Having put him to sleep on a lap, she called a man to shave off the seven braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. The sin that blinds you, catches your attention, that will bind you. It's like a fishing hook. If you've ever had a fishing hook, it's very hard to get out of your hand. It binds you. It's very hard to get away from the sin that binds you. And then when it's payback time, it grinds you down. And the sad thing that it says here, the Philistines seized him, gouged his eyes out, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles, and they're setting him to grind in the prison. Samson had it all. He had God-given blessing and strength and ability to fulfill his task. But he chose to go his own way and to put God on the sidelines so he could focus on what grabbed his attention. And now he was at his lowest point, grinding in the prison. But here's a personal life verse that I cling to. Verse 22. But the hair on his head began to grow again. Isn't that beautiful? That's what I cling to. I'll claim that promise. Thank you, Lord. The hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Amen. So, Samson's strength, his confidence returned. Even in that lowly prison cell, He knew who he had to turn to. He knew it was the Lord who gave him the strength. And the Philistines, they were all on a high, and they had this party set up. There was singing, there was sacrifices, there was dancing. Everyone was on a high. There was 2 tiers to this temple, to this god of Dagon. Dagon was a merman. As you can see, there's a picture of him. And Gaza was by the coast, and so the Philistines worshipped and adored this Dagon. And so there was a Dagon after party, and things were going off. And they were all drinking, and they said, let's bring Samson in for entertainment, because we're celebrating the fact that Dagon has overpowered Samson. And so they dragged Samson in for their entertainment. And Samson asked his guide, take me to the pillars of the temple. And so he was guided into the pillars, and he prayed this, his last prayer. He says, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my 2 eyes. It seems like a selfish prayer to me. His whole purpose was to revenge his 2 eyes. I mean, what about God's purpose? Fulfilling God's plan. But he recognized it was God who gave him strength. And he said, I want to take out as many Philistines as possible when I pull this place down. And so he stretched his arms out and he pushed those pillars off their foundations. The people on the second story fell and collapsed in the pile of rubble, and 3,000 people died that day. God began his rescue mission with Samson. Despite Samson's headstrong and foolish ways, God used his wayward warrior to lead Israel for 20 turbulent years. So now we're going to come to another rescuer. Another rescuer that God had fulfilled his plans. And he was very similar to Samson in some degree. God's rescue plan, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled God's plan. How was Samson's life comparable to Jesus? Well, Samson's birth was announced to his mother by an angel, just like Jesus. Samson was born miraculously to an infertile mother, just like Jesus was born to a virgin mother. Samson's mission was to save Israel from the Philistines. Jesus' mission was to save the world from their sins. Samson was blessed by God and moved by the Holy Spirit, similar to Jesus. They're pretty much, there's a comparison there. There's also a contrast, differences between Jesus and Samson. Samson was arrogant and boastful and violent, while Jesus was humble and meek. Samson recklessly broke God's rules, while Jesus fulfilled them. Samson was sinful in his thoughts, in his actions, and in his words, while Jesus never sinned at all. Samson succumbed to the temptations of Delilah, while Jesus never yielded to the temptations of the devil. Samson was captured reluctantly. He went kicking and screaming, while Jesus gave himself up willingly. He wanted to fulfill God's purpose. And then their deaths. One was blinded, one was blindfolded. And I'm sure the Philistines would have laid into Samson as retaliation and beat him and mocked him and cursed him while he was blind. And Jesus was beaten and mocked and jeered while he was blindfolded. When Samson died, he took 3,000 people out with him. When Jesus died, the very first thing that Peter's proclamation, 3,000 people were saved and brought into God's kingdom. The start of many that spread throughout the world and even impacted people here. And thank you, Carmel, for sharing your story this morning in the Taste and See. God uses people for his honor and glory. And, you know, Carmel shared when she was at her lowest point, when Samson was at his lowest point, God made a change. God made an impact in their lives. So God's rescue mission. For people at home, we're going to wrap up this service, but I want you to use these verses from Romans chapter 5 in your remembrance time with the Lord this morning. Grab a cup of tea and a small piece of bread or a cracker and just thank God for his rescue mission through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might want to just pause the screen on this slide so that you can worship him this morning. Let's pray and then we'll go into our time of remembrance. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled your rescue mission to save mankind from themselves. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies that we've heard, people who've tasted and seen what you are like, and your heart's desire is to have a relationship with each one of us. I thank you that Jesus went all the way to the cross on our behalf. He stretched out his arms and pushed aside the strongholds that hinder us from coming to know you. And I thank you that we can remember that through this communion service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's have a time. We can use maybe statements out of this reading. God showed his great love for us. You can read it and use it in your sharing this morning. So let's have a time of open sharing. Thank you.